The saying goes, if it sounds too good to be true, probably is. Unfortunately, scammers are on the attack and still finding victims today more than ever, actually. They play on your hearts, offer you promises of rewards that will never show up, and appear to be as real as the sun in the sky. Even the most savvy of us, quite frankly, be honest, we can fall prey to these scammers if we're not careful. What are your options, if you do? What are some of the scams flying around out there these days? My next guest is here to help us become more aware about all of this and what the Federal Trade Commission is doing to stop the scammers. He is an attorney with the FTC, Adrian Jenkins. Thanks for being here today, Adrian.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to give you some websites as we talk here, but don't worry because we also have them posted at our homepage. But your starting point will be the obvious for the Federal Trade Commission. It's FTC.gov, and we have others as we go along with our conversation here. Some background stats real fast. Consumers reported losing almost $8.8 billion to scams and fraud in 2022. It's a 30% jump over 2021. That's even though reports of scams are down, but it just shows that the scams are becoming more lucrative. In 2022, the median loss from fraud, $650, up from $500 in the year before. Older someone is, the more likely they are to fall prey to these scams. And when we say scams, Adrian, how does the FTC define a scam? Is it a total ripoff? Can it include organizations that keep 90% of the money and give 10% to the cause that they're stating? How is a scam defined?
We define scams in a variety of different ways. Ultimately, the tips and the scams that we're tracking and the things that we're going to give information about are any type of organization, impersonator, anything that is trying to get your hard-earned money away from you without your full knowledge and understanding of where that money is going.
And we've certainly come a long way from that Nigerian prince offering us $10 million that we helped him out, haven't we?
Yeah, you know, there are some scams that change just slightly, but, you know, the same old scams are always around. They're just changing, with the headlines. We always say that scammers follow the headlines, so it's, you know, some of the same old tricks with just some new leads and information.
And they also follow the technology, too, because how much has scamming via text messages and using smartphone-to-smartphone activity grown?
All of those things have grown, exactly what you said. With the change in technology, scams have changed as well. We see a lot of text message scams. We see a lot of social media-initiated scams. We see a lot of scams through messaging apps. And those types of services. And we also see scams changing with the types of payments that are required, that the scammers require people use to pay. So all of that is changing with, technology and with the way we spend money.
As far as what the scammers are purporting to be, what are some of the more common ideas or causes that they're trying to make people believe that if they come through with some money, there's just going to be some wonderful things happening here?
Sure. So the top scam that we see at the FTC is the impersonator scam. So that could be a business impersonator, a government impersonator, or someone pretending to be a family or friend. And those people contact you, usually out of the blue, with either an unexpected problem or a request for money, or saying that you want some sort of prize. And these are the most common that we see generally. We also see a lot of trending scams. So again, whatever's happening kind of in the headlines, you know, if there's a big Supreme Court case, as there is with the student loans, we'll see student loan scams start to pick up. We'll see Medicaid scams start to pick up, job scams, student loan repayment scams. All of these kind of follow the trends. But I would say that the imposter scam is one of the most popular.
I guess related to the imposter scam, too, if you've ever watched the shows like Dateline or 48 Hours, I guess they call them what, romance scams. That's another one that basically is using, I guess, a combination of tugging on the tech and tugging on the heart.
Yes. Yes. Romance scams are always popular. And those, you know, are a category of an imposter scam. And how that usually plays out is someone becomes invested in a relationship with someone, whether it be online, via phone, and over time, that person will usually start to request money. Usually there is some sort of emergency or problem that person has, and you know they need help financially. And over time, those dollar amounts continue to rise more and more. the advice that we give for a romance scam is the same for other imposter scams is, you know, verify who it is that you're speaking with. Usually they request money and it's in a pretty urgent situation. They need it right now. So we always tell people take a second, talk to someone else. Talking with others is a great way to avoid scams. You know, the more you speak about it, the more information you have. Talk to someone else, you know, verify that that person is who they say they are. And again, don't send money by gift cards, by cryptocurrency, by money transfer services like Western Union. Those are all ways that scammers generally ask to be paid.
Talking to Adrienne Jenkins, attorney with the Federal Trade Commission, about consumer scams, what the FTC is doing to help make you more aware, as well as to put a stop on all this happening. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Often wondered, Adrienne, does answering the phone, responding even in a negative way to a text scam, email scam, does that make you prone for more? Because you're showing basically, if nothing else, that there's this phone number is active and alive, this email is active and alive. So if nothing else, the scammers can sell it to other scammers now.
That is true. So one thing that we see is people who answer these phone calls and talk with scammers and engage with them, they do seem to get more calls after. And I think that's exactly right. You're confirming that this is a phone number. And not only that, that this is a person who's willing to hear what we have to say as a scammer. So maybe this time you stayed on the phone for 5 minutes. You know, they're thinking maybe next time you'll stay on the phone for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And the longer you're speaking, you know, the more likely you are to give away some sensitive information or to open yourself up to more scams by giving away some, you know, personal information about yourself, things that you're interested in or things that you're doing, family members that you may have. So one of the main pieces of advice we give is hang up. If you're not expecting that phone call, if it's something that sounds too good to be true, if you are being told that you won a prize for a sweepstakes that you didn't enter, hang up. That's, you know, that's step one.
So let's just say that you even though you're careful, you like to think you're tech savvy, you're aware of what's real, what's not, because some of these really sound, and if you're going online, look real too. You get snagged. What should your reaction be, and how much time do you have before things get worse?
So if you have paid money to a scammer, there are a few steps that you can take. Number one is to reach out to the bank or your credit card or gift card or wire transfer company, however you paid that scammer, reach out to that company and let them know that you believe you've been scammed and ask for the payment to be stopped or reversed. And so if you need to call your bank, you can ask for, you know, them to freeze the account, stop payment on the check, things like that. The important thing is to act quickly. If you put money on a gift card because someone told you to and then you shared that PIN number with them, you should get in touch with that gift card company quickly and tell them that you think you paid a scammer and ask if they can stop payment or to get your money back. The second thing that we want you to do is tell somebody. You know, again, talking about scams is one of the best ways to prevent others from falling to that scam as well. And then we also want you to report it to us. We have a website, reportfraud.ftc.gov. It's a really interactive website. You go, they ask questions, what type of scam, what happened, you kind of fill it in as you go along, an interactive page. And at the end, it gives you tips and some helpful advice and some what to do next steps.
And it's really important to do the reporting too, isn't it, Adrienne? Because that's the only way that the authorities are going to know, and that's the only way it can be made more public and make more people aware that, at least in this case, one specific scam that's going on. Because I've read before that, especially with the older people who wind up losing the most money, as statistics show, they don't want to tell anyone they fell prey to it because, well, now my son and daughter think they can't handle my affairs and I'll be dependent on someone. I don't want to be dependent on someone. There's that reluctancy to tell anybody.
Yes, exactly true. We need people to report these scams. You can report it to the FTC. You can report it to your state attorney general. You can report it to your local police department, but we need people to report it. The more that we hear about these scams, we at the FTC were able to do some public outreach to let people know what's going on. And, you know, we put out press releases or blog posts to help people understand scams. And we can also do that for some scams that are very targeted to certain areas, to certain groups, and it just really helps to get the information out. And as the FTC, we are also law enforcement, so that helps us direct our resources You know, if we see a lot of reports about the same type of scam or type of fraud, that helps us decide, you know, what cases to bring and where to put education efforts. So it's very important that we find out the information about these scams.
So again, that's reportfraud.ftc.gov. Keep up with the latest scams that are flying around out there, ftc.gov/consumer alerts. And to get some free education, because that's always where you get the knowledge from, consumer.ftc.gov. Don't worry, they're all linked up at our homepage as well for you to certainly make use of and share with people that you know. That's the sharing that's not a scam. Adrian Jenkins from the Federal Trade Commission, thanks for the work that your organization is doing and for helping us all be better aware of all this. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.